I don't want this. I don't want this. That's the reason why I make it so miserable, so wretched, so unbelievable that they run away from here. I put them out in the field in their designer garments. Do you understand? And I tell them, this side and this side with blinders on, run. Well, you have never seen auto machines lay such rubber getting out of here in all your life. And someone says, oh, isn't it sad they're not going to stay? I laugh and laugh and laugh. How do I teach chemicals? How do I pacify them? There are plenty of places for them to go. They belong here. They like to go and be very clean, and they like to meditate, and they like to be vegetarians, but they eat a lot of it. And they like to drink, and they like to spend their time meditating about going into someone's garden. Down the garden path, by the tranquil stream, so that we can no longer have to deal with stress, because stress gets in the way of our sexual life. And you didn't think I know that. I know that. Now, I don't want them down here. I want them out here saving people and killing people and declaring war and doing all of the things that their miserable little consciousness can do, because this up here, that's their job. These garments running rampant down here. Now. Oh. Well, you've never been called a garment before, you must admit. So now I take those who hear a call. Now, what does that mean? For the first time, let's understand this. I knew most of you before. Most of you marched in a great army. Greatest the world has ever seen and will ever see. Populated Persian Gulf, Indus, Turkey, Istanbul is a great center and a great mecca for all entities. All the way to the steppes. It's a great army. I knew you before. You used to long to look at my face or watch me sitting or silhouetted. It only makes sense that I should come after these garments. I like them a lot. Now, what causes you to hear a call? What is it in you that responded? How did it respond? All I had to do is send this all the way through to the light. A whole focus, like a shower, And all I did was focus my name. That's all. What used to be my name. And it came all the way through all frequency levels, penetrated the light, and it ended up here. We're going to do this. This is the time spiral. Well, sort of like ripples in a pond, except these are elongated instead of circular. The same concept. If you are in the field today and you get a chance to live through the day, you might want to find a little pebble and say my name and throw the pebble into the tranquil water and see what happens. And you'll understand. Now, that rain came down through the light and it landed on the time spiral. Up here. Now, this call happened before I appeared to my beloved daughter. The call had already gone out. She enters the picture here, but the call happened here. You see? Now, that call, as it were, was only my name. In her consciousness, she was being prepared for this work. In your consciousness, is the call set right on top of your time spiral. When you became in your life distressed, you would not focus on your body, but you would ask for help, didn't you? Inside, you want to know the truth. Now, if this is laid in properly, at that moment, at your despair, your anguish, your rejection, perhaps that moment that you are contemplating taking your own life, burning the garment, that'll teach God. Just burn that garment. In a moment to where you were low, that's the moment that I taught you about called pause. And that's a moment that happens when in that really beautiful silken garment, a hole is eaten through it. And there's a pause that happens. When you ask for help, or you feel you need guidance, when you did, you turned inward, you prayed, you chanted, you meditated, you cursed, you wept. That brought you to the height of the light. In other words, it was your moment to be spiritual, wasn't it? In that moment, it wasn't about eating, it wasn't about drinking, it wasn't about copulating, it wasn't about pursuit, it wasn't about investigation, it wasn't about collecting things, it wasn't about being wealthy or being poor, being sick or well. It had nothing to do with that, although the events of these things led to this moment, didn't they? So there was a split that happened in you. And the split was, at that very moment, you wanted something that was nothing here. When you prayed, you didn't altogether feel physically relieved. When you meditated, you didn't altogether feel peace. When you asked for help, no voice came. But something changed in that moment, because in that moment you interfaced here, and that's where my name came in. Now, I put myself on your time spiral so that in the midst of doing all of this silliness down here and getting yourself in trouble and dropping gravy on your garment, that you would become so awful that you would have to ask for help. Enter I am. Now, if that's sitting up here, then that means that you were down here somewhere and that you had to make a great leap. You had to surrender. You had to become quiet. You had to give it up for that moment to get an answer. And here it was. That is when the soul begins to wake up. Now, what is the soul? Let us say that the soul is this pattern up here. This pattern up here that thus far has done only thing was to hold the garment together. Let's say that the soul is the pattern. Now, if the garment suddenly tears, what is the soul to do with the garment? How does it repair it? This focus is everlasting on this soul, this pattern. What happens is that when this garment acts abnormal, tears, and the life essence leaks out, there's disturbance in the pattern, in the soul. I have been sitting in your soul. So, when you come up here, and you need help, the moment you touch this part, this begins me into your life. The soul does not carry the bounty of its creator, only its pattern. The soul, however, can gain its immortal beauty in whatever garment it's wearing, if in fact that this garment, this consciousness that is locked up here, breaks and asks for its help. The help comes in the form of great thoughts. Those great thoughts are then set on the time spiral up here. The image or the pattern has now changed. It has something else to it. It has a new dimension. It has a jewel that's been added to it. And the jewel will, in the days to come, rise up and it will connect with this pattern of destiny, this jewel, this thought that is transferred from here to the soul, which is the pattern. The soul, in turn, inflects it in light, which is time. So the patterns of destiny, or the grand thoughts, are set upon the time spiral, just as I was set upon the time spiral. What does that mean? That means that as you start to live every day, and every day you're going to come closer to a destiny. or in the morning you wake up and suddenly you understand something. You wake up in the morning and good fortune has come your way. You wake up in the morning and your disease is gone. You wake up in the morning and your life that was in shreds has suddenly come together, smooth as silk. You understand? Now that's the time flow. All of these things in the soul are set at the top, here of this spiral. So that when you meet this thought, that thought is carried into life and you begin to experience it. Do you understand? Now, soul that is not awakened is a soul that is strictly there for the pattern, for the garment. Takes care of everything here. The brain allows you to learn, and all of that learning that you have is chemical. It's part of the pattern. You have room for it. But the things of God are not in the soul. What happens, and this is all about at one-ment. What happens is when this consciousness in its dense reality comes to the ebb or low in its life and asks, is there anything more? Help me. When seemingly around you, there's help everywhere. You have friends, you have comrades, you have husbands, you have lovers. Or perhaps you're empty. But suddenly in your life, you've chewed up all of the gifts of the pattern. And there aren't any more. You've experienced all of them. And suddenly you're worn out and you feel empty. And your husbandman or your wife, no matter what they do to you, they cannot fill the emptiness. What is the emptiness? The emptiness is a time spiral with nothing on it. Blessed be nothing. You understand? It's only in this nothing can the soul be activated. You're coming up here to be filled. This is only filled by God. This consciousness up here, this super consciousness. Then what has happened is this is what has happened, hasn't it? Isn't this the garment after all? And isn't this the journey after all? Isn't this the moment that you surrender and you give up and you ask for help? Is it any wonder why, if you feel bad and they tell you, go to bed and sleep, you'll feel better in the morning? Don't you? We want to fold this entire thing up to this. So, if you run out of things and you're empty, this is when the soul is called awakened. This is the term. You have suffered. You have borne witness to your hardship. You have not buckled under your suffering. You have not given up. You have persevered. I have made you into the fire. I have tempered the metal into the fire. Now the metal is ready. I have thrown your garment to the dogs. It has torn, chewed, dirtied. The garment is made ready for radiance. Get it? You understand? It. Now, it is possible for a highly intelligent person to be unawakened, because their intelligence is chemical. A very inspired person is awakened. An inspired person. An entity who can go to great heights, who can traverse the land of the known, the land of the academic, the land of the dogma, the land of social consciousness, can traverse beyond science and understand simply what it is. That is an inspiration. That is the light that seeps through the garment. How? On the time spiral, burning away in the present garment is burning away the ridiculous, the chemical, the mundane, the familiar, isn't it? Burning away, the reason the garments are set up the way they are is for specific things to happen as a result of the way they're made. Perhaps you have to get so obese that you have to finally say one morning, is there something other than food? Perhaps you have to get so skinny and fashionable, you wake up one morning and say, I have starved myself for this. Is there anything else? Perhaps you are so perverted because you have inverted your energy and can never be satisfied, so you go to the ends of the earth. You find the perfect hole to put your penis in, to see how many intercourses you can have, how many different ways you can do it, because the natural way doesn't do you anything. How many times must you do that? And how many ways and how many fantasies must you have when you finally one morning realize what is going to happen to me when I don't have it any longer? My God, what will I think every day? This is too terrible. I don't think I could ever live. What would I do on Saturday night? Read? Oh, the dread of me. Perhaps the way you are is an opportunity to be something extraordinary. People who enter this school are intensely passionate. You can wake up and still be passionate. Most are unawakened and vehemently passionate, or sterile, or impassive. Here, if you wake up and you have the energy, then you are blessed indeed, except the pain and suffering comes when you have to change your focus, which means you must change your energy. That's what hurts. Perhaps it's time you changed your focus. Perhaps it's time to realize what kind of life you've been living and how fleshy is it? How material is it? Do you dream of breast every night, and is that to you a symbol of great beauty in a woman? If it is, you are dead in consciousness. you are unawakened. If your need for a man is for sexual purposes, and if you are unsatisfied and unbridled in your passions, you are dead in consciousness. But vitality, you have vital chemical life, but you are unawakened. And no matter what we do here, you may never wake up, because you will never give it up. It's you by God. Do you understand? The time spiral looks like this, and always have, even when you were down here. Notice how we did a couple reverses here? Go back. All of those time spirals look like this. Go back to the past. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Maybe we didn't fully realize everything we should have. So all your time spirals have these arrows saying, go back, young man, go back. Go back to your past. Why did it do that? Because you didn't like your moment, that sweet moment of life right up here. Being nothing was boring. And there wasn't anything ahead of you, so you had to go back. So you put those arrows there yourself, didn't you? Go back. Remember the good old days. Remember when you weren't bald. Remember when you were skinny. Remember when you were young. Remember when you picked a few too many cherries off of the tree. Remember when you could run 100 miles on one breath. I never found that up here, but you could have swore you did that once. I think you fabricated it. Oh, well, remember when you fabricated that idea? The time spiral does this. It works hand in hand with illusions, hand in hand with from the first level through the third. It's about time, isn't it? You will not find the time spiral up here. You will find, however, that these loops will go all of the way up here. But in regards to day-to-day life, these are the days. This is time. It goes up for its pattern or its inspiration on Thursday. Thursday afternoon, it's done it. Thursday night, it sleeps. Thursday morning, it wakes up, gets inspired, gets its orders for the day, and takes a dive all day long. Get it? The reason people use drugs is they want to stay up here all the time. They don't want to go to sleep. They don't want to get tired. They want to stay up here all the time. They want to feel energized, high, lofty. They want to get those wild thoughts. They want to stay there all the time. They don't want to come down and get real and live the experience. They just want to float around up here. It's important to come down, because in down is where, when you get the orders, is where the experience occurs. Do you get it? And it's a momentum. It moves like this. Like this. You wake up in the morning. You look upon the placid water. You look upon the void. You look in and you see your reflection. Orders of the image. The reflection is the image. You pick up a little pebble, you toss it in, it wrinkles the image, and thus will the day's experience be born of the wrinkles. Get it? This level is a mirror to the light. This is an illusion, because all real things happen through the pattern, not the garment. Do you understand? Last. So what about all this garbage down here? Does that still exist up here? Well, I ask you, the way the chemicals work in your body is in accordance to how you've reacted down here. In other words, you've pushed all of the buttons. If you are a highly emotional person, it means you're a highly chemical person. It means that you do a lot of things to your body, and sooner or later you're going to wear it out. It's sort of like only wearing one side of the pattern and not the other side. And you wear it out. What kind of a person are you? What has your life really been about? What are your problems? Most of them are physical. And most of them are highly emotional. That's what you are. Now, what is the difference between you and I? You will run out of inspiration because your body gets tired. That means you're a physical person. You get tired of paying attention. You're impatient because I said something that intimidated you and you didn't like it, so you didn't hear me any longer. Isn't hearing a sensual thing? You won't go and do those tests because you're afraid you're going to fail. Only chemical analysis fails. Haven't you ever heard the word will? Will is not chemical. It's strength that passeth flesh and blood. Will is born from God. It is not in the body. Now, also, you are willing to throw everything away because you become emotional. You are chemical. Chemical. Now, this is a little disturbing because it means that you're locked to a time spiral and that your destiny is to slowly evolve from a body consciousness to God. It means that when you do not surrender and sacrifice and become obedient to the teachings, you give your life to the slower evolution, which is another way of saying, I want to do this my way. Well, let's talk about your way. What is your way? What is your way? What is your way? The ways of the world always lead to death. What are your ways? Your body consciousness would never push you as far as I will push you. Will it? And your body consciousness would never have the patience that I would it? No. And when you thought it was time to stop, I wouldn't, would I? It's 8:30. The music is over. It's a fine morning. And you'll go, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. That's the difference between you and I, isn't it? How many of you were aware today that the music didn't start at 8 o'clock? Yes, it did. Whose time do you want? Yours or mine? Huh? Do you want your time that bad? Oh! He lied to us, said it'd be at 8. It's not here. Can't believe a word the man says. Don't you understand? I do this for your own good, and if you love me, you would understand that. Get it? Well. You have no idea how well I fared in front of the consortium of gods who wanted to disintegrate the garments. You would have been immensely touched at my presentation against their desire. A lot of them have never even been a human being, so they don't even know what argument's about. So they're always taken back when I say no. 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 Yes. If you only knew. Now, so here, everything that you do in regards to physical responses can be calculated in time. So you know every day you're going to get up and urinate at about the same time. And one thing you know is that you are going to urinate. I did. It's a natural thing. But you've made it very soft and smells good and everything's good. You've prepared a whole sanctuary for it. It's a discipline. I agree. Now, and you know that in the next few moments you're so ordered that you're going to do the following things. You just do them, don't you? Your body has to stretch, and then you run over and look in the mirror and see if it looks any different than it did last night. Or you weigh it, poor thing. And it's always interesting, after you weigh it, you run down and eat. As if to run away from the horror of it all. But then you get ready and you have a whole ritual connected around eating. Everything must be just perfect. Your hands must be clean. Your nails have no grime or last night's clawing fit underneath them. Fleas and ticks hide in warm places. You sit down and you eat. And you eat at usually the same time. And then you put it all away so no one would ever know that it ever happened. There's no evidence. It's almost as if the scale would see that you did that. And you can take it in and show it. See? Not for you. And then you go through that horrible ordeal of what are you going to wear? What does a garment wear? After all, you're as picky as your maker, aren't you? So you go through that, and then you just get ready to go to work so you can plan a little coffee break. And a little toilet break. And then we work and we have a little lunch and toilet and work and dinner and toilet and sex and toilet and eat and sleep. Correct? You know, you really don't have to be a real rocket scientist or a real fortune teller to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow morning. And the wonderful thing about them is that if they tell you something other than your discipline, you're almost affronted. But they don't know what you are and what you do. Maybe they were laying something on your little time spiral. A little tiny something. Well, maybe they were a little correct. And pretty soon, a few days later, boom, it happens. And well, now this person is the greatest seer that was ever born. They obviously saw it for you. Don't you understand? I could send you today to the marketplace and you could say that you are from this school. Now, you'll get a few Christians hissing at you down here. Stoning you. Wait. Before you stone me, want to know what's going to happen to you in 3 days? Jesus may love you, but I know about you. When no one's looking, after they have blistered you with a sermon, they'll ask. Because everyone wants to know about their future. I will assure you, there will come a day when I will send you as seers into the marketplace for a specific test. And the test is that you are to learn to have hypnotic eyes, and you are going to learn to give them a message, and you're going to learn the fine art of prophecy. As long as they're down here, you want to mess with them down here. Because look how screwed up they are. And they are. Oh. You have to laugh at this. Now, members of the school will always attack these. And the reason why is they're not woke up. That's the reason why. So, and you can pretty well gauge what they want to know. I'll teach you how to know that. And then you're going to give them a prophecy. Now, if you tell them that you are from the sacred school, as much as they will think that you are all of those horrible, terrible things that they themselves would love to know about, it gives a certain aura of power and mystique. Very important for the effect. Don't you agree? You agree? The church builds castles of stone and gold. I build garments of pearls and jewels. And you will come here and you will give them something wonderful. They all need it. And in effect, if you're effective, and we will practice, you will learn to do this very well. We're going to lay them right up here. And they're going to be so inspired that they're going to want to live. And they're going to want to live just to see if you were wrong. Won't they? And it pays to be wrong sometimes. Because then they'll come back to you and say, "You dirty scoundrel, you were wrong. La, la, la." Well, you could have told them what was going to happen to them too. But that would have only increased it. So you defer them away from it. So you place it up here, and they run into it, and it happens like magic, doesn't it? And maybe they're going to say, "How did you know that? Nobody knows that. How did you know that?" And you will say, "It was the Father within me that knew that. We're in you." Can I learn to do that? In another 1,000 years, come and see me. So, how much graffiti do you have on your time spiral? If we take the grid and look at that, we must understand something else that's vitally important. Every swirl of this, see this as it moves up into the light? Are you watching? I want you to draw this because I want you to know how it works. When this moves up here to get its orders for the day, moves way up here into the light like this, it also must move through its grid. So it's like everything passes through the program. And isn't the grid, after all, the pattern? It is, isn't it? So the grid is the garment you wear every day. So this passes through, gets all of its orders from the grid, picks up any tidbit that might be lying there, brings it down during the day, and starts to live it. Live it. Life is about this process here. Entities whose brains are dead, but their body is alive, have you seen such? They have no animation, do they? They're not living, are they? They're not laughing. They're not eating. They're not jesting. They are alive, though, aren't they? What is the difference between a person who is breathing, whose pulse, his heart is beating, whose cells are regenerating, but is unconscious, versus one whose heart is beating and they're breathing and their cells are regenerating? What's the difference? Come on. What's the difference between the two? Both of them are alive. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and talk to them. There are entities who have lived long lives in a coma. That's your turn, isn't it? In my day, it was called the deep sleep. And it is an art. You can learn to do that. But those today are mystified by this. Now, there are reasons for that. The brain has been damaged severely. If they are keeping the entity alive, hoping that something will activate in its brain, sometimes long enough, the pattern, if the body stays along, the soul will then recreate through this the necessary improvements genetically to get the body to start rejuvenating itself. Now, the brain does not rejuvenate itself, but if there is any portion of the brain left, the brain can be reprogrammed by the soul, by the pattern, to facilitate the entire body. Even a tenth of it can run your body today. You don't need all this stuff up here. Well, at least you haven't used it to date. Now, if the body stays in a coma long enough, this may happen. And one day, the entity sets up after a long, long nap. That happens. Keeping the body aware until this can be inspired to take care of the garment. In other words, to hem it. Understand? To put a patch on it. Do you understand? And it takes a little while to do that. Or, if this entity is laying there and they are alive, they're not doing this. Because they are incapable of the experience. Because the element inside of the garment that is so vital, the back seam, as it were, that holds all things together in the garment, has been so severely damaged that it no longer can be a receiver. And this makes a decision through this to give it up. Do you understand? Now, the difference between that entity and you is that you get to live, wake up, to become inspired. And then the rest of the day, whether it is going backwards and digesting your past even more, reminiscing, remembering, or it's going through one of these little things. Someone made you feel better. They said something kind to you. Or maybe someone loves you. That's a reason to get up every morning and be inspired. Whatever, you're willing to wake up, press the garment, and go about animated to experience it. Why experience? Because every time you come to the top, this is the spiritual. You give that pearl of wisdom, that emotion, or that thought, or that most excellent frequency of vital experience to the soul. And the soul becomes the book of life. It begins to record on its page all vital experience. Vital experience is not done in images, but rather it is done in bits and pieces of frequency. What happens to the bits and pieces of frequency? Is frequency energy? Is it? Come on, wake up. So if the experience is made up of bits and pieces of different frequencies, like a mosaic, then the mosaic is turned and given to the soul, and it's a mosaic of frequency on the light level. So it's bright and shining, and it does look like gems. If you take just the hint of ultraviolet blue light, and you deepen its color, and deepen it, it looks like sapphire. If you take that which is termed the experience of Hertzen, and you charge it with vital energy, it looks like a ruby. And the emerald the emerald moving up right under, that is the fog, right under visible light. The emerald is the butterfly's wings. It's the fire of change. And then it goes white light and then ultraviolet. So the mosaic comes back as an experience that is filled with bits and pieces of glittering jewels that are nothing more but everything of frequency in its lowest phrases. That's given to the soul. The soul owns the mosaic of the experience. Where is this to go? Consciousness and energy are inextricably combined. Energy cannot maintain itself without the fire of consciousness. It goes to the Lord God of your being here. And the mosaic is turned back and turns into a most brilliant consciousness. It's called the virtue of wisdom. So all of those echoes, all of those pearls, all of those emeralds and sapphires are turned into wisdom to make a loftier consciousness that is getting ready to. Understanding the experience is getting ready to clothe itself and be manifested in flesh. And when it is manifested in flesh, it is called the light of the world. And it is the light of the world. Dynamic consciousness inhabiting a physical body. God, man, the two at one-ment realized. You understand? So how do you change? I keep barking at you that indeed it is a necessity to change. We change your focus. Hitherto your focus has been all physical. It really has. Even the things you love are qualified by physical expression. You're afraid that if you don't do certain things, you're going to lose that person. So what is love? Love then in that context is chemical, isn't it? So you're going to lose a chemical garment. But you say, I see the potential of that garment. Every garment has potential. The reason you're here is because it's starting to be realized. These poor wretched souls down here have eliminated potential out of their life and qualified it under the auspices of social consciousness, academia, religion, social behavior, the faculty of extraordinary reasoning, so developed by vitamins. My sentiments exactly. Now, this is the sharp turn. We come to a screeching halt. I want you to change your attitude, change your focus. Look at this diagram. When I say, focus on lofty thoughts, where do your eyes go? Where do they go? Here. Because that's where lofty thoughts are. And it's actually within you. Now, I want to ask you another question, and do pay close attention. When I ask you to focus on lofty thoughts, this seems to be where all the action is, isn't it? It is, isn't it? So I'm asking you to bridge a gap between where all the action is and nothing. It's called no man, no woman's land. Isn't it? Now, I am asking you to focus on lofty thoughts because I am asking you to focus upon the mind of God, the one who made this garment, who created the pattern, who knows everything about the pattern. There. That is the original inhabitor of the garment that has never inhabited it. It's made it for something else to wear. When I say, do this, I want you to look now at this no man's land. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
Look at it. I want you to remember it the next time I sit you down to focus and I tell you to focus on the void. I want you to expect that you are having to traverse a great abyss where nothing is happening. I'm even making you be so still that nothing will happen in here except gut gases. So still that I have locked you into a focal point and I'm telling you, reach for me. Can you touch me? Can you interlock with my mind? Reach for me. Focus upon me. Can you know my thought? Can you be my thought? That's what I'm telling you to do. For what purpose? This, right here, in all of its grid work, in all of its body functions, this is what you have said you were all of your life. This is going to get in the way of this. It's going to try to run and get in here. Don't look at this. Look at me. My back hurts. Do something. I have to go. Do something, quick. Don't look at this. Look at me. I've always been the one you've loved. Look at me. You see, it does this. And you say, Master, who's looking at who? If I'm saying these words, am I speaking for my body? And if I am, who am I arguing against? My question hasn't hit home yet. If you are speaking for your body, who are you arguing against? No! Hold it! No! Your back doesn't hurt. Yes, it does. Feel this, sucker! And you think that's not real? Take this. Indeed. So when you're saying, I am not hurting, who are you talking to? Whose conversation should you be involved with? This one down here? Or this one up here? This one isn't talking. No one's talking up here. This is the only thing that's answering you. Not only is it killing you, it's saving you. So, Master, who am I wrestling with? Indeed, who is my nemesis? If I'm not my body, then why am I telling it it's not hurting when it's telling me it is? What am I? You are wrestling with pulling yourself as an awareness out of this. The only reason that you can be called a consciousness in your body is because your focus induces chemical reaction that is called the vital signs of life. Isn't life referred to by its vital signs? And if it doesn't have vital signs, is it alive?